You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and we are here at the Elizabeth Eaglebot Memorial Fund concert. I'm joined by one of the artists who will be performing on the night, James Risden. James, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Hello.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you got into music?
Gosh, a very long time ago. Actually, like a lot of people, I got into music through the primary school recorder club. So every Wednesday lunchtime, I think it was, I would stay inside and play recorders and kind of loved it, but didn't really make much progress. But luckily, where I lived in Devon, there was lots of live music. So I think really what got me into live music was hearing some amazing recorder players and clarinetists and Nigel Kennedy, the violinist, and all sorts of live music. And I think from a pretty early age, I realised that's what I wanted to do.
When it comes to the Elizabeth Eaglebot Memorial Fund, how did that fund help you and your music career?
So for me, the fund paid for a postgraduate diploma in performance, which was quite important for me because I hadn't been to music college or studied music, in fact. So it was actually a way of getting myself a qualification that put me on a level with my peers, and just gave me a bit of recognition and a bit of, I suppose, validation in my own work up to then as a musician. So that's what it did for me. But actually, for a long time, I've been on the panel and I've been lucky enough to chair the panel for the Elizabeth Eaglebot. So actually, what it's really given me is just a really privileged seat, seeing generations of blind and partially sighted musicians come and tell us what they're doing and what their plans are. And it's been such an amazing joy to be a small part in making some of their plans a reality.
Leads me nicely to the next question, which is, how important do you think funds like this are for blind and partially sighted people who want to get into music?
I think the particular thing about this fund is that it's unique, and it's unique for a few different reasons. Perhaps the first is that we don't specify any minimum standard. We don't specify what you have to have done in order to apply to the fund. There's no upper or lower age limits. We're pretty broad-minded even in the kind of music that we are interested in. In fact, very broad-minded. So it started out as primarily a classical fund, but over the years, musicians have come to us working in all sorts of genres of music and in all sorts of areas of music. So I think for me, it's very broad in its scope. And the other thing is that actually for a lot of the musicians who come to the Elizabeth Eaglebot Memorial Fund, there really isn't another source of funding. So access to work might cover some bits of funding for some people. Arts Council might fund some bits of funding for some people. There might be smaller local funds available. But actually, in what we're able to give and the broad criteria that we have, I think this fund is unique.
What would you say has been your proudest moment of your music career so far?
I think probably the most fun was playing with Para Orchestra for the closing of the Paralympic ceremony in London 2012. There was just such a buzz in London in 2012 with the Olympics and then the Paralympics. So to be a small part of that was just incredibly fun, and it gave a real sense of focus to that whole summer of sport for me. So that really does live long in the memory. Last year, I was lucky enough to make my debut at the BBC Proms, again with Para Orchestra and a totally different set of music. So that was really fun. But actually, I guess the thing that I really enjoy most is taking music to places where live music doesn't happen very often, or taking it to people who don't often have the chance to hear live music. So if I'm playing in a church or a community hall or something, and there's 30 people there who haven't heard live music before or haven't heard the recorder before, that to me is really meaningful and something I still enjoy doing after many years.
What are next steps for you in your career? What's kind of coming up soon for you that you're particularly excited about?
In my position, a lot of things sort of happen which I don't necessarily plan, and I have very little time to plan my own projects. I work part-time in a job, and the rest of the time when I'm doing my music work is a lot of the time responding to requests and projects that come in. So one of the things I would love to do is have time to sort of plan my own maybe recording or a new concert program or something like that. But in the meantime, I seem to be busy sort of lurching from one project to the next. So it's difficult to say what I'm looking forward to next, because I don't quite know what's going to come up In 6 months' time.
What would be your message to blind and partially sighted people who, like you, are passionate about music and who would love to get into music themselves?
I would say definitely follow your dreams. It's difficult enough as a blind person to find employment. So the idea of pursuing your dream and dedicating yourself to something that you really love doing is a great thing to do. I'd say be open-minded in terms of where it might lead you. I had no idea what I would do when I left school. I knew I loved music and I was already reasonably good at it, but I had no idea what opportunities would open up and where it might take me. So I think just be broad-minded, take on anything once, be flexible and follow your passions and put everything into it. And even if it doesn't quite work out as you intended to, great things will happen and it will be an exciting ride.
Fantastic. James Risden, thank you very much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.